this time we'll call Brother Randy Folier with today's message.
Well, here we are once again, as Elder Allen said, a day before the end of Unleavened Bread and the Wave Sheaf tomorrow. It's a blessing to see each and everyone here. It's a blessing to see Brother Roger back. We've missed him. He's been gone for a few weeks in Texas. And as we see the crime and sin in this world worsen, we know that Yahshua's coming is imminent. It's at the door. We can find prophecies in the Old Testament given by Yahshua, given by the apostles, and given to John of Patmos in Revelation of prophecies coming to pass in our day and age. For example, the recent trend in gay civil unions and gay marriage, the continuance of Yahweh's word being removed from the public, and the continual growth in the overall sin and morality that we see multiplying in this world, as Yahshua prophesied almost 2,000 years ago in Matthew chapter 24. With this, we've also seen an increase in disease and pestilence. We've seen the arrival of such plagues as SARS and AIDS and other diseases. We've also seen an increase in war. There are hundreds of ongoing wars throughout this world. The U.S. alone is involved in wars throughout this world, including Africa and the Middle East, the war on terror. Along with that, we have the continual threat of nuclear war from such countries as North Korea and Syria. This world that we live in today is not at peace. And I believe that Yahshua's coming, as I said, is only imminent. It's at the door. It will happen. Recently, I gave a message on latter-day deception, and in that message, I warned of the coming deception of the anti-Messiah and of Hasatan, the evil one, and what we must look for as believers. It's imperative that we understand the possible coming apocalypse on this earth. If we're asleep to the signs of the consummation of the end of this age, then we'll be deceived and left unprotected from the sin and the deception of the evil one. So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. A day of evil and a day of persecution is coming like we've never seen before. When Yahshua returns to this earth in that day, he says that he'll strike the nations and he'll reap revenge on mankind. This afternoon, I plan to examine the day of Yahweh, as we see in the KJV, the day of the Lord. To many, this day is known as Armageddon, the day of the great battle. Before we consider the importance of this prophetic location, let's first consider the day of Yahweh. Many believe that the day of Yahweh is a day of worship, the day of Yahshua's resurrection. But this isn't the case, and we can prove this from Scripture. We know that Yahshua rose late on Saturday before sunset. He did not rise Sunday morning, as people are observing now. Second, we know that the day of Yahweh refers to the day of Yahshua's coming, which we will see throughout this message. So let's begin by turning to Isaiah chapter 13 and begin there with verse 6. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6. Isaiah prophesied, he said, "Well, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. As destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Therefore shall all hands be feeble, and every heart of man shall melt. And they shall be dismayed, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in travail. They shall look in amazement one at another. Their faces shall be faces of flame." Verse 9, "Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy the sinners of it out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations of it shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir. Therefore I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place, in the wrath of Yahweh of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger." We see here that the day of Yahweh is a day of wrath and vengeance. On this day, Yahweh's wrath will go forth. It says that he'll destroy the sinner and will punish the world for its iniquity, for its rebellion. On this day, Yahweh says that man's hands will be faint and the heart of man will melt. This day is compared to the pain of a woman in childbirth, the pain and suffering that Yahweh will inflict on mankind at this time will be horrific, will be like we've never seen before in man's history. Notice also that on this day that we'll see apocalyptic signs in the heavens. Isaiah prophesied that the stars and the sun would be darkened. On Yahshua's coming, the luminaries that give us light will be quenched, and man will truly be in darkness. This day will be like the day that Yahweh smote Egypt with darkness. It'll be a darkness so intense that mankind will feel its presence. That's what we read in Exodus, how man felt its presence. It was such an intense darkness. This plague of darkness corresponds to the fifth vial or bowl that we find in Revelation chapter 16:10. During this plague, it says that Yahweh's angel will pour forth his plague on the seat of the anti-Messiah. It will cause darkness over his entire kingdom. Let's look at another description of the day of Yahweh. Joel, turn with me to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, and let's begin with verse 1. Joel says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh comes, for it is near at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn spread upon the mountains, a great and strong people, there has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after them, even to the years of many generations. Never more and never once have we seen and will see such a day as this." Verse 3, "A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yes, and none has escaped them. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so do they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of the mountains do they leap. But like the noise of a flame of fire that devours a stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. At their presence, the peoples are in anguish. All faces have become pale. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. And they march, every one in his ways. And they break not their ranks. Neither does one thrust another. They march, every one in his path. And they burst through their weapons and break not off their course. They leap upon the city. They run upon the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter in at the windows like a thief." We know Yahshua and Paul both compared Yahshua's coming to a thief, which we will see later. Verse 10, "The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened. The stars withdraw their shining. And Yahweh utters his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong who executes his word. For the day of Yahweh is great and very terrible. And who..." I think that's an important question here. "And who can endure it? Who can overcome this day?" We see many of the same signs that we saw in Isaiah. Here, Joel, or Yael, meaning Yahweh is El, prophesied that a day of Yahweh would be a day of darkness, a day when Yahweh's wrath would fall on mankind. Here we see that on this day that all the inhabitants of the land will tremble, will quake before Yahweh. This day will be a day of fear and a day of Yahweh's indignation, a day of Yahweh's wrath. On this day, Yahweh's wrath will consume the sinner, as we saw, and those who defy his word. As we see again on this day, the heavens will shake and the luminaries in the sky will be darkened. There will be no escaping Yahweh's wrath on his day of retribution. At this time, the small and the great alike will flee before Yahweh, but will find no refuge from Yahweh's wrath. Let's turn to Amos chapter 5 and read a little bit more about this refuge. Amos. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "Woe to you that desire the day of Yahweh. Why would you that have the day of Yahweh? It is a day of darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it?" Amos says here, woe. Woe to those who desire this day. As we've seen, the day of Yahweh is not a day of delight or happiness, but a day of Yahweh's wrath. A day that he will reap revenge once and for all for man's iniquity, for man's sin. When it comes to this day, there will be no escaping. There will be no hiding. As we see here with Amos, the day of Yahweh is like a man who runs to a wall of safety, a wall of refuge, to only be bit by a snake. As the old saying goes, we can run, but we can't hide. There will be no hiding or escaping Yahweh's righteous anger on his day of wrath. There will be no hiding. There will be no escaping. Yahweh will accomplish his will here on earth. Let's turn now to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. Zephaniah's description is just as horrific and possibly more so from that of Amos and Isaiah. Zephaniah says, "The great day of Yahweh is near." Notice the urgency. The great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and haste greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yahweh. The mighty man cries there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high battlements. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against Yahweh, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's wrath. There will be nothing that can deliver mankind during this time. But Zephaniah says, "But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make an end, yes, a terrible end, of all them that dwell in the land." Are you beginning to understand just how horrific this day will be? Just how horrible Yahweh's day, the day of Yahweh's wrath, of his indignation, will be. On this day we see that the mighty men will cry out in fear. But we can also see this in Revelation chapter 6, how they will cry out to the rocks, "Fall on us." They will be horrified. Zephaniah's description of this day is nothing short than horrific. Zephaniah describes this day as a day of trouble, a day of desolation, and a day of clouds and thick darkness. It's a day that we should make ready for and watch for. And that's the message we see in Paul with Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul here is speaking about Yahshua's coming. It says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that anything be written to you." Verse 2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahweh so comes as a what? As a thief in the night. When they are saying peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief." We're different. Paul says we're light. He says, "For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Here and also in the Olivet Prophecy do we see that Yahshua's coming will be as a thief in the night. In both of these passages are we told to watch and be circumspect, be diligent of the time. Paul goes on here to say that the season of Yahshua's coming will be in a time when man says peace and safety. And we can also see this in Daniel chapter 11, that the man of sin will come in a time of safety. He will come in a time of deception. We know that Yahshua in the Olivet Prophecy compared his coming to the days of Noah. He said, just as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be again with my coming. Just as the people were eating and drinking and ignoring the signs of the coming flood, the people before Yahshua's coming will be doing the same. Look at the world that we live in today. Look at the people that you work with, who you know. The signs of Yahshua's coming are all around us, but yet people aren't concerned. Why? Instead of concern from this nation and the world, we see more rebellion and more sin. A continual removal of Yahweh from this world. It's as if people are asleep, and they are asleep to the signs of Yahshua's coming. They don't see it. They don't see the pending apocalypse that will soon come on this earth. Instead of acknowledging the signs and the prophecies coming to pass, people are more concerned about their personal lives, about what's going on with their own lives. People nowadays have no time for their Father in heaven. People are too consumed with their families, with their friends, with their work, with their careers, or other personal ambitions. And that's not something we should be caught up in. Just like those in Noah's day, people today are asleep to the Word. When it comes to the day of Yahweh's wrath, they're asleep. They're not looking. They're not watching. And here Paul says to watch, because Yahshua's coming is as a thief in the night. If we're not looking, we will be caught off guard. We will suffer. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. John of Patmos, we know, received the vision of Revelation on this day, on the day of Yahweh. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on, the KJV says, Elohim's day. But here it says, Spirit on Yahweh's day. And I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, so on and so forth. He received the message of Revelation. Now most believe that this passage proves that John received this prophecy on Sunday, or the day of Yahshua's resurrection in New Testament worship. But, as we've seen, this day doesn't refer to a day of worship. It doesn't refer to Sunday. It doesn't refer to Yahshua's resurrection, but to a day of darkness and destruction, as we've seen with Joel, Amos, Isaiah, and Paul. To be more specific, this passage is referring to the day of Yahshua's return of his second advent to this earth, a day that Yahweh's retribution will be poured forth on mankind. Just consider the book that we're speaking of for a moment. What makes more sense, to say that this day refers to a day of worship or to a day of Yahshua's return? What do we see in this book? Do we see a book describing a day of worship? No, we see a book describing Yahshua's coming and Yahweh's wrath on mankind. So here we see that when it says that John was in Yahweh's day, it's not referring to a day of worship on to Sunday or to his resurrection day, which, by the way, again was on late Sabbath, but to a vision of man's last days, to what Yahshua will do when he returns to this earth, the wrath that he will pour out on the day of visitation that we see prophesied throughout Yahweh's word. One of my favorite books in the Old Testament is Zechariah. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Here we have a description of Yahshua's coming. Zephaniah chapter 14. Let's begin there with verse 1. It says, Behold, a day of Yahweh comes, when your plunder shall be divided in the middle of you. For I will gather all nations, and notice this is a critical passage here. I will gather all nations, it says, to Jerusalem, to battle. And the cry shall be taken, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Here we see a connection between the day of Yahweh and the day of Yahshua's return. We see here that the great battle at the end of this age will not take place at Harmageddon or Armageddon, but at the city of David, Jerusalem. Yahweh says here that he'll gather all nations against this city. And there he says he will fight against all nations. He will fight against all armies, all nations who come against this city. Let's continue with verse 4. It says, and his feet shall stand in that day. What day are we speaking about? The day of Yahshua's return. Yahshua's coming. His feet on that day shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall divide in the middle of it toward the east and toward the south. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mount shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee by the valley of my mounts, and the valley of the mount shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee like as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yahweh Elohim shall come, and all the holy ones with you. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall be no light, and the bright ones shall withdraw themselves again, showing apocalyptic the luminaries in the skies going dark for this day. We're going to see darkness on the earth. Verse 7, and it shall be one day which is known to Yahweh, not night, and not day, not night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time there shall be light. And it shall come and pass in that day that living water shall go forth out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. On that day that Yahshua returns to fight against the nations, Zechariah prophesies that his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. When this happens, it says that there will be a massive earthquake, and that this great mountain, about a mile in length, will split in two. When this happens, the weak and strong alike, it says, will flee as they fled in the days of Uzziah with that great earthquake. We can see a description of that in Amos. But we see that Yahshua's coming will bring apocalyptic signs. It will bring darkness. It will split the Mount of Olives. It will shake the foundations of this earth, and it will shake the very heavens. Isaiah said in his prophecy, man's heart during this time will be faint as they see Yahshua coming back to reap revenge with all his holy ones, with his angels. Let's drop down to verse 12 and look at the plague of Yahshua's coming. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12, it says, and this shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Yahweh shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Yahshua prophesies of racial wars, wars between nations. There's going to be fighting and disease. During this time, we see that the neighbors will fight. We know families will fight. Verse 14, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wrath of all the nations all around shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance, it says. Verse 15, and so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, of the donkey, and all the beasts that shall be in those camps as that plague. So here we have the plague of Yahshua's coming. Can you imagine what a horrific sight this will be to see Yahshua coming back and seeing those who are standing on their feet being consumed? The Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians wrote that the anti-Messiah will be consumed, will be annihilated, simply by the brightness of Yahshua's coming. We see here a similar plague. The plague that we see here is probably beyond most of our imaginations. Those who war against Yahshua will be consumed as they stand and look and shake at Yahshua's awesome presence. There will be no defying Yahshua at his second coming. Those who do so will do so to their end. They will not be successful. Let's now look at Armageddon. Armageddon. We've talked a little bit about it. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. Let's begin with verse 12. It says, "And the sixth poured out his bowl." And this is the seven bowls or seven vials of Revelation. We have the seven trumpets. And now we have the seven bowls or seven vials. And it says, "Upon the river Euphrates, and the water of it was dried up, that the way might be made ready for the kings that come from the sun rising. And I saw coming forth out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, as it were frogs." Verse 14, "And they are spirits of demons, working signs which go forth to the kings of the whole world to gather them together to war of the great day of Yahweh, the Almighty." So we see here that the Satan, the deceiver of mankind, the beast, the false prophet, will send forth these unclean spirits into the world, and they will go into the kings of the earth. They will deceive the kings of the earth, and they will gather them together for that great day of Yahweh. So Yahweh intervenes here. He allows these evil spirits to go forth into these kings so that his will is accomplished. Verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief." Again, comparing his coming to a thief in the night. "Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." Verse 16, "And they gathered them together into the place which is called in Hebrew Armageddon or Armageddon." So here we see the second to last vial leading up to Yahshua's coming. When this angel pours forth his vial or bowl on the river Euphrates, we see that this great river dries up. And it says it makes way then for the kings of the east or of the sun rising to meet the armies of the earth at Armageddon. Most identify the kings of the east or of the sun rising with the oriental nations, China maybe. Instead of these nations marching west and then north and south to go around the river Euphrates to meet at Armageddon or Armageddon, which we will see in just a second, they instead will march west and only west to the land of Armageddon. The word Armageddon comes from two Hebrew words. The first is har, meaning mountain. And the second is Megiddo, referring to a city in the promised land. So the word again, Armageddon, literally means the mountain of Megiddo. So what's so special about this city? Why does John mention this city by name? I thought that this was something somewhat interesting. I pulled some information from Tel Aviv University, and here's what it says about the historical facts of Megiddo. Again, Armageddon, mountain of Megiddo. It says, "Megiddo appears in both the Old and New Testament. Megiddo is the only site that's mentioned in all great records of the ancient Near East, including the Old and New Testament and Egyptian, Assyrian, and Hittite sources. Megiddo's stormy history covers over six millennia, from the 7th millennium BCE to the Persian period in the mid-1st millennium BCE. I thought this was interesting. Megiddo is the only site in the land of the Bible with remains of 30 cities built one on top of the other. 30 cities. Megiddo exhibits an unparalleled number of monuments, for example, says fortifications, temples, palaces, water systems, and other public edifices. Megiddo was the scene of many battles and decided the fate of nations and empires. Megiddo guards, and this is a critical point to understand, in what made Megiddo such an important city historically. Megiddo guards the most important highway of the ancient world, the Via Mars, that connected Egypt with Mesopotamia. It started with Egypt and it and it reached up to the Fertile Crescent area, Mesopotamia. Megiddo is linked to numerous great figures in world history, among them King Solomon of Israel, King Josiah of Judah, Pharaohs Thutmose III, Shishak and Necho of Egypt, and Kings Tiglath-Pileser III and Esarhaddon of Assyria. So as we can see from this information from Tel Aviv University, this ancient city has had enormous impact for ancient civilizations beginning in the 6 millennia ago, almost 6,000 years. And we know that it will again have enormous impact with the return of Yahshua, the Messiah. It'll be at this region where all the armies of the earth will meet to come against the city of David, the city of Jerusalem, as we saw in Zechariah chapter 14, and as we'll see in just a minute in Zechariah chapter 12. But first, let's turn over a few pages to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, and let's begin with verse 11. Verse 11, it says in Revelation chapter 19, "And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, picturing Yahshua. And he that sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head many diadems. And he has a name which no one knows but he himself. And he is arrayed in a garment dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh." Where do we see that? John 1:1. "The Word was with Elohim." The Dabar, the Logos of the New Testament, the Word of Yahweh. Verse 14, "And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and pure." Notice that the armies in heaven will follow Yahshua to this earth. "And out of his mouth proceeds a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." We know that during the millennium, Yahshua will restore righteousness and equity back to this earth, and he will do so, if must, by a rod of iron. "And he treads the winepress in the fierceness of wrath of Yahweh the Almighty. And he has on his garments and on his banner a name written, King of Kings and Sovereign of Rulers. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the birds that fly mid heaven, Come, be gathered together to the great supper of Elohim." Now this is the battle at the consummation at the end of this age. It says, verse 18, "that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that set on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, in small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against his army." Where do they go for this? Jerusalem, the city of David. They meet Yahshua there. They meet at Armageddon, the mountain of Megiddo, and they travel then to the city of David, Jerusalem. Verse 20, "The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that worked the signs and his sight, by which he deceived them. They have received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They too were cast alive into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword that sat upon the horse, even the sword which came forth out of his mouth. And all the birds were filled with their flesh." Can you imagine seeing Yahshua coming down from heaven with Yahweh's vast army following him to defeat the armies and nations of this world? This is precisely the scene that mankind will see when Yahshua returns. It's not going to be something that we're going to miss. Yahshua says, as we see the lightning from east to west, we shall see his coming. We will see Yahshua come with thousands upon thousands of angels coming to defeat the armies and nations of this world. Yahshua with a sword will smite the nations of this earth who come against him at his return. And it's amazing to me that man would even fight against Yahshua's coming, seeing who he was, seeing what he had behind him. But, it's also amazing that Hasatan, the evil one, Satan, would have rebelled against Yahweh. Some people must learn the hard way. And these people will. When Yahshua fights against the nations of this earth It says that he'll throw the anti-Messiah, his false prophet, and those who worshiped him, and those who received the mark, into the lake that burns with fire. As we've seen, when Yahshua comes back, there will be no hiding from his wrath. There will be no hiding from the Lamb. There will be no escaping his coming. Let's now turn back to Zechariah, this time to chapter 12. This is possibly my favorite passage in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 12. I find it just amazing, this prophecy. It's inspiring. It's just amazing. Let's turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12. Begin there with verse 1. The burden of the word of Yahweh concerning Israel. In this manner, says Yahweh, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and forms a spirit of man within him. I gave a message on abortion recently. Look at this. Yahweh is the one who forms the spirit of man within him. It's Yahweh that gives that spirit to each and every one of us. And that happens in the womb. Verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of rilling to all the peoples all around. And upon Judah also shall it be in the siege against Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples. All that burden themselves with it shall be severely wounded. And all the nations of the earth shall be gathered together against it. In that day, says Yahweh, I will strike every horse with terror and his rider with madness. And I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah, and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the chieftains of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength and Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim. In that day will I make the chieftains of Judah like a pan of fire among wood, and like a flaming torch among sheaves. And they shall devour all the peoples all around, on the right hand and on the left. And they of Jerusalem shall yet again dwell in peace and safety, even in Jerusalem. Yahweh also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem be not magnified above Judah. In that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yahweh before them. And he shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. The message that we see here in this passage is nothing short than amazing for me. Here we see a message of redemption, a message of hope, a message of faith, and a message of love. In this passage, we see that Yahshua will return to this earth to fight against all those nations who come against the city of Jerusalem and who come against Yahweh's own people. Yahshua will come forth from the heavens with his thousands and thousands of angels to defend the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. We know that in Yahweh's word that Israel's called the apple of his eye. I believe that Israel's been given a great promise and a preeminence among man to be Yahweh's firstborn and chosen, something you and I are grafted into if we also obey Yahweh, if we put Yahweh first. Here we see that when all nations come against the city of David, that Yahshua's wrath will strike out against those nations. As we saw in Zechariah chapter 14, the plague that Yahshua will use against all those who war against him will be horrifying. As they stand on their feet, they will consume away. Yahshua will consume all those who fight against him at his coming. Those who do this will have no opportunity for success. As Isaiah said, they shall meet their end together. In this great battle, we see that Yahweh will strengthen his people. One of the most amazing things I find about this prophecy is that Zechariah prophesied that the weak would become like David, and that the family of David would become like an Elohim, a mighty one. They will not be stopped. Yahweh will strengthen his own people. Do you see why I say that this passage is a message of hope, of faith, of love? Yahshua someday will return the leaves of that tree in Deuteronomy chapter 24 is coming to pass. Again, don't be fooled into believing otherwise. It will happen, and it's happened now. Let's continue with verse 10. Verse 10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, favor, and of supplication, and they shall look to me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem," Zechariah prophesies. Do we understand what we see here? Do we understand the impact of this prophecy? Zechariah prophesied that when Yahshua comes back to fight against all the armies, all the nations of this earth, that those who perished or impelled him would look upon him and mourn as one mourns for their only son, for their firstborn. When Yahshua returns, those of Judah and Benjamin will look upon him and know that the one whom they impelled was indeed the Son of Yahweh. This will happen at Yahshua's coming. When this happens, they will mourn bitterly and repent and accept the one that they put to death almost 2,000 years ago. But as Elder Allen pointed out, we can't blame this on the Jews because we all put him to death every time we sin. So the blame is all mankind, all those who's fallen short of Yahweh's promise and his glory and his redemption. You see, Yahweh's love for his people Israel has never diminished. It's always remained. Yahweh from the beginning promised that he would never forsake Abraham or his seed. Here we see that on the day of Yahweh, the day of Yahshua's coming, the day of Yahweh's indignation, that this promise will be carried forth, and that Yahweh's chosen people will for the first time accept their Savior and Messiah. That's an incredible prophecy, one of my favorite. Let's turn back to Matthew now, Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to close with this passage. We're going to look at two parables here, I think, which are applicable to what we're speaking about today. Parables and messages and lessons that we need to understand as time becomes closer. We can't afford to be asleep, not to be looking. We're going to have our lives not in order when Yahshua comes back, because the result, the impact of not having our lives in order are detrimental. Detrimental to the point where we have no comprehension. So let's look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. But the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom stayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there is a cry, 'Behold, the bridegroom! Come forth to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Perhaps there will not be enough for us and you. Go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Master, Master, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Truly I say to you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour.'" The lesson here is obvious. We must be ready for Yahshua's coming. If we're found unready when Yahshua comes, it says that he'll forsake us. He'll say, "I knew it, never knew you. Depart from me." We mustn't be foolish when it comes to preparing for this time. If Yahshua finds us and our lives unfit, unworthy of him, then we'll be rejected and cast out of his kingdom. Yahweh won't accept a person whose oil lamp is only half full. Yahshua told the Laodiceans to either be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. If our oil is lacking, and if we're only dabbling in the truth, then don't anticipate Yahweh's kingdom. Yahweh is calling out a kingdom of priests. He's calling out a special people who are willing to commit everything to Him, their very lives if necessary. Let's now look at the second parable, beginning with verse 14. For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. 25 verse 15 of Matthew. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his several ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately he that received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made other 5 talents. In like manner he also that received the 2 gained 2. And he that received the 1 went away and dug in the earth and hid his master's money. Now after a long time the master of those servants came and made a reckoning with them. And he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Lo, I have gained other 5 talents. Verse 21, his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also that received the 2 talents came and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Lo, I have gained other 2 talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also that had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I know you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, you have your own. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sow not and gather where I did not scatter. You ought to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back my own with interest. He said, You could have at least given it to the bank. Verse 28, Take away therefore the talent from him and give it to him that has the 10 talents. To every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away. And cast out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Yahweh has given each and every one of us a talent to use while we're here on this earth. How do we use our talents? How do we use the knowledge that Yahweh has given us? Do we hide what we know from those around us, from co-workers? Do we live what we know to be true? For instance, are we faithful with Yahweh's Sabbath? Are we faithful with Yahweh's feast days? Do we go to Yahweh? Yahweh says, Be at my feast days, and if not, it's a curse. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. Are we faithful when it comes to His word? Are we faithful giving what belongs to Yahweh? Notice how Yahshua will recompense Yahweh's saints. To those who are faithful with much, much more will be given to them. But to those who weren't faithful with what they were given, the same shall be taken away, and they will be removed from the kingdom. It's essential that we live according to all that we know to be true. If we neglect Yahweh's word because of friends, family, for whatever reason, work, career, then know that Yahshua will say, You wicked and slothful servant. Let's read to the end of the chapter here. Verse 31. But when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all the nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the goat from the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the King say to them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. What are we saying here? We're saying pure religion. James defines this as pure religion. We must go beyond Yahweh's Torah law. We must go beyond keeping the Sabbath, keeping the feast days, doing things of that sort. We must be there when people are in need. This is pure religion. And Yahshua looks upon our hearts. Yahweh looks upon our hearts. And if we're negligent with these things, all the commandment keeping in the world won't save us. Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Sovereign, when did we see you hungry and fed you or athirst and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and look you and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, since you did it to one of these my brethren, even these least, you did it to me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Sovereign, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, since you did it not to one of these least, you did it not to me. And then shall go away into eternal punishment. The Greek means to dwarf or curtelis, a punishment once and for all. But the righteous into eternal life. Yahshua says here that when he comes with his multitude of angels, that he'll sort out the wicked from the righteous. Yahshua's coming is not a game. It's not a fictional story. It will happen. And I believe it's at the door. When Yahshua returns, he'll strike this earth with fear and trepidation. Man will tremble at Yahshua's coming. There'll be no place of refuge, no place of safety, no place to hide. The day of Yahweh's wrath will be a day of panic, of revenge, and fear like man has never seen before. The day of Yahweh is coming. Let us make ready for this day and not be caught asleep that Yahshua's coming. And may Yahweh bless you.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Certainly our world can ignore Yahweh, ignore His Word, reinterpret His Word, whatever they want to do, but there is coming a day of reckoning when everything will be set right. And that's what we all have the hope of. To close out the message, we'll call Brother Mike forward, if we'd all please rise.
Heavenly Father, Yahweh, thank you for the message. Help us to cling to you and to stay as close to you in these times that are coming up. Help us to endure until the end, Yahweh, and help us to have wisdom and knowledge, and give us those gifts and help us to use those talents to keep increasing, Father. I ask all this in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. Amen.